This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, writes for NFL.com. He is Greg Rosenthal. Greg, appreciate the time as always. I was just reading this story up here, and I have it up looking through your new GM power rankings. There are some folks that are going to be very displeased, but I got to think Jerry Jones has to be excited. Did he ever think he'd find himself in the upper half of GMs in football?
I mean, it's a funny thing about Jerry Jones. There's a lot of things to fault him for. In the way that he runs his teams, he tends to fall in love with his own players. He builds them up too much. But if you actually go back and look at the drafts that they've had and the moves that they've made over the last, let's say, decade or so, and I was looking at their entire track record, his drafts are pretty strong. He has brought in a lot of top-tier talent into Dallas, so he kind of fit right there in the middle, just like the Cowboys are most years.
So, Greg, what's your thoughts on Packers GM Brian Gutekunst?
He's so young and that, you know, at this point, I don't put too much stock into the 1 year that he's had and now the second free agency period. He's obviously more aggressive, and that's why he didn't get ranked. Anyone
right.
that hadn't gone through kind of two drafts, two full years to kind of see what they are, I didn't rank him. But clearly by style, you know, he's more aggressive than we're used to. In Green Bay, he has made defense an absolute priority in the draft and then free agency this year, and we'll see if that continues in the draft. I think you guys don't expect that.
Yeah, and a former teammate of mine, John Dorsey, has made a lot of moves, I guess, when he was at Kansas City. That team, is responsible because of John, and then now what he's done in Cleveland.
Yeah, he was in our top five, and that got the most reaction. Some people said, look, he should be number one, and a lot more people thought, he shouldn't be that high. But if you look at what he's done, drafting Patrick Mahomes and then Baker Mayfield, that's just one position. But you can look throughout the rest of the Kansas City Chiefs roster and what he's done quickly in Cleveland. He's not afraid to be aggressive, and he has made some great picks and some great pickups. And I think that's what a lot of these GMs at the top have in common, especially these days. Belichick, Howie Roseman, Les Snead, I'd certainly throw into that mix, is they are very aggressive. They're not afraid to take big swings, to make trades. And I think that's what you've seen out of Gutekunst, too, is at least he's not playing scared. He's going for it.
And also, too, in the John Dorsey conversation, Greg, also with that John Schneider, two guys that were in Green Bay, obviously Dorsey heavily staffed with former Packer front office guys with him now in Cleveland. Those two are in your top six. Just how good have they been in their respective roles? I mean, especially John Schneider out in Seattle.
Yeah, it is amazing. Of course, Reggie McKenzie just finished his time in Oakland. Just the impact that Ron Wolf and the Packers front office has had league-wide is incredible. It's really, there's nothing else quite like it when it comes to front office positions in the NFL right now. And Schneider was a guy who, like a lot of these guys, you know, got off the bat quickly. His draft and his cohesion with Pete Carroll, really being on the same page as his head coach, where they were really knowing what players to look for, was fabulous. And he was aggressive, especially when they were at the top of their game. Right now, they're rebuilding. But when you're rebuilding and you're still winning 9 to 10 games a year, kind of as you're having a big roster turnover, that's a sign of a good franchise.
So I know you heard about the whole big firestorm here in Green Bay, where they're a writer. Tyler Dunn wrote a nice piece. Well, I don't know if they think it was nice about Rodgers
nice.
And McCarthy. What's your thoughts on that Rodgers-McCarthy, I guess, relationship?
No, I mean, look, that was not just a story in Green Bay. We got like three shows worth of that on our podcast. Are you kidding me?
no, right?
that was great stuff. And it was... You know, you could see a lot of the reasons why Aaron Rodgers was upset with it and the teammates specifically, you know, that have been in a lot of these articles. But you could also see some other parts of the stories that were really compelling, and that the Packers, when they did push back against that article, you know, they pushed back against some parts harder than others. They really disputed that call between Mark Murphy and Aaron Rodgers. And, okay, like when you come that strong about that, then that's one thing. But there was a lot of other things I think you could read between the lines in the story. And I think it's been unfortunate kind of to see the Rodgers-McCarthy sides on some level, you know, trying to figure out who got the credit and fighting for credit. And I kind of understand it because ultimately it was a disappointing end to their time together.
So how do you think this is going to work with the new head coach, Matt LaFleur, the Rodgers relationship with him?
I mean, that's a million-dollar question.
Isn't it?
Green Bay.
Yeah.
Does LaFleur have the goods? Like, if LaFleur there's no way anyone, I think, from the outside could answer that. You know, we interviewed him at the Combine, and you've seen him speak, but that's not, like, being behind closed doors. That's not drawing up plays. That's not him in a room with the team. So there's no way for me to know. But if he's got the goods in terms of being a really advanced NFL mind, I think it's going to go great with Aaron Rodgers. And if he's not, and he's just a tough guy to really tell because, you know, he just hasn't had that much experience calling plays. It doesn't mean he can't do it. A lot of great play callers have risen up to head coach without being a coordinator, a play caller that long. If he's just okay at it, then it's not going to go well. You know, I think that's just Aaron Rodgers going to eventually eat him alive.
Talking with Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com and co-host of the Around the NFL podcast here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Greg, with the Green Bay Packers, what do you find right now after the moves that they made in free agency, getting two pass rushers, getting an offensive lineman, and a starting safety in Adrian Amos? What do you find as the biggest need going into tomorrow night for Green Bay?
I don't think you could go wrong on the offensive line, even though they've addressed it to some point. I know wide receiver, you know, is an expectation or tight end, just a pass catcher. It sort of doesn't matter. When you have two first round picks and you look at this roster, you kind of feel like in this draft, there's a good chance one of those picks is going to go to a pass catcher. But I've realized over the years in the draft, I'm never confident before it starts.
Me neither.
Like the people that are confident about it, like just fail to notice that they get six picks right out of 32 in their mock draft. I mean, it is tough to know what's going to happen.
Right. It really, people don't know. I got to ask you this: Why are the Giants going after OBJ? Why they just let that go?
Yeah, he hasn't let it go quite yet. He had some, you know, Instagram comments, and that's kind of like that's how guys are trash talking today. Back in the day, like there was a lot of trash talking through the media. Now it just kind of goes through Instagram. But he made it clear, kind of throwing some shade onto Eli. If you read between the lines, that you know what was going on in New York the last few years, and then Eli's teammates, you know, they're going to stick up for him, and then the story just keeps going on, and that's kind of what you get with Odell Beckham.
Well, I love the pettiness, and we can talk about wide receivers and quarterbacks having conflicts. What about that in Pittsburgh, Greg? How that's unfolded? Kevin Colbert's in your top five, too, out in Pittsburgh, and the Antonio Brown saga, and then Big Ben, it results, and it kind of culminates in Big Ben getting a two-year extension worth over $65 million.
Mm. Yeah, it hasn't been a good couple of years for Kevin Colbert. I think he would, you know, agree with that. Just with the roster that they've had, I think they would have expected to do more damage, certainly in the playoffs the last couple of years, you know, making it last year than they have. But they're choosing to keep a franchise quarterback late into his 30s, which is kind of a no-brainer. That they managed the Antonio Brown situation poorly, or maybe it's Ben Roethlisberger that managed it poorly. But ultimately, you know, the arc of a quarterback's career has just changed. You know, seeing what Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and all these quarterbacks are still doing. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is at an age where in the past we would have thought, oh, he's about to hit a decline, but these guys have kind of changed what we expect, and Ben Roethlisberger is still playing at a very high level, even if he's not quite where he was before. And so it's kind of a no-brainer to keep paying him.
Well, no doubt about that. Keep paying him. Russ Wilson just got a big payday.
Yeah, and people say, like, you can't build your team the same way as when he's on a rookie quarterback contract. But if you have the right quarterback, it's a no-brainer. You see the money that's spent. I mean, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, they're going to be making as much as Ben Roethlisberger. You know, you combine their cap hits this year, they're going to be like a franchise quarterback. And so it's like, which would you rather have, even though those guys are going to help out your team, which would you rather have?
Greg, how many quarterbacks do you think, your best gut guess, how many quarterbacks go in the first round tomorrow night?
I'd say four. You know, I don't think it's going to be quite as high as some years where teams are trading up. You could see Dwayne Haskins be the second quarterback and get past pick number 10. But usually there's at least one quarterback teams will trade up for. So whether that's Haskins, you know, or Daniel Jones from Duke, I think four ultimately go. But I wouldn't be surprised if two or three of them are in the back half of the round.
You know, in typical Raider fashion, I suppose, what's going on with Mayock and John Gruden? I mean, why would you kick your scout? I mean, why would you do that? If you don't trust these guys, why don't you just fire them along with McKenzie?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a strange NFL practice that happens every year where the GM gets fired and the scouts that have been there under that GM always finish out the rest of that offseason. They finish out the draft process because they're already, you know, more than halfway along through it. But conflicts come up because of it. And it just reminds me like of an old Raiders story. It just reminds me of Al Davis and how paranoid he used to be and how John Gruden, in this weird way, even though he had his problems with Al Davis, is the perfect kind of successor to Al Davis. Like he has as much power as any non-owner in the league, I believe, inside his organization. Maybe even more than Bill Belichick. I really believe that.
Talking with Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com and the Around the NFL podcast here on the Wendy's Big Show, just did a GM power rankings, and understandably so, Greg, no one's going to dethrone Bill Belichick from that top spot. But Howie Roseman at number two, he has done an incredible job with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I think what he's done is combined the analytical kind of forward-thinking side of a front office. And that's not all just using numbers. That's in how you're hiring people, how you construct the organization, your nutrition, how you practice. That's everything. And combining that with, you know, a very healthy old-school scouting approach where they find linemen and they have built up both of those lines really well, and they do trades about as well as any team in the league. Them and the Patriots trade more than anyone else. And they've just been smart in the way that they build their roster. I think they're set up to be good, to be a contender every year for a long time. And that's all you can ask for.
All right. I just have one more question, Greg, if I may ask. You think the Patriots get their next franchise quarterback in this draft?
I think they'll draft a quarterback, yes. I mean, I think it'll be in the first two rounds. So if that answer, I don't know if they'll get it right and whether he's going to be the guy. They've taken a lot of quarterbacks up high, not just Jimmy Garoppolo. They took Jacoby Brissett. They've taken a couple other third-rounders over the years, and I do think they'll have one this year, yes.
All right, Greg, if you ever get to Green Bay and I'm there for a game day weekend, hit me up. I got a steak dinner for you.
Ooh, now I'm going to make sure I get there.
Yeah.
My kind of
guy. You
got to
come, yeah. We appreciate
it,
buddy.
Greg, appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon. Mm-hmm. Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com and the co-host of the Around the NFL podcast, one of the best podcasts. I listen to it all the time when they post it. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.